this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back.
Welcome back, folks, to another edition here of Republic Broadcasting Networks and the Concord Hour. I'm your host, Maggie Rose, and I have my Friday co-host with us in the studio, Chris Brummels. And as many of you have been seeing that I've been advertising on both the Maggie Rose Facebook and on my other personal Facebook, we have Mark Thelman also in the studio. Now, Mark Thelman was superintendent of schools of, let me see if I can pronounce this right again, Mark. Is it Alcea?
Alcea,
a school district up in Northern Oregon. And he was the superintendent of schools there for 11 years. And then he ran as gubernatorial candidate for the primaries in 2022. And as you all know, Oregon is considered the worst state in the union when it comes to elections. This is what my friend 107 has told me. It's what Trump has told 107 to tell me, and that it's up to we Oregonians to take back the state. Now, after I saw the ongoing corruption that I'd been witness for the last 20 years of living and even being in the military here in Oregon, and I saw the corruption within the Democrat Party here, with the pseudo-Republican Solomon Yu and his now mistress Carrie McQuesten, I was really angry when I saw what happened in the primary, and I jumped from the Republican Party into the Constitution Party, planning to run for county chair, and they said, no, we're going to run you as gubernatorial candidate. You better be ready to for the next 2 to 3 months. And so I myself did that, knowing that the chances of me ever making it under the laws as they are now, because our laws are being violated. Our state constitution is being violated. The Democrat Party here is what we consider more the Marxist Communist Party. And they are only cherry picking through the state of Oregon constitution and following the state constitution as they wish. There's other things they should be also obeying the state constitution, and they are not. Now, Mark Thelman and a group of other people have had numerous different lawsuits going on right now. And not only does he have a lawsuit going on, a couple of them in different places, especially regarding the lack of election integrity and the theft that's been going on here in Oregon. But a gentleman you've all heard about, Desmond, also has sued the Secretary of State, and his case is now being heard. The judges are allowing it to go forward, and he's also going after the Grisham School District. And so far, they cannot believe this man has not been to law school, because he hasn't. He's all self-taught. So I would very, very much like you all please to welcome Mark Thelman on. He's got a lot to share with us in this next hour, and he's planning to come back too. And I want to thank Chris Brummels. Chris, for reaching out to Mark again. Mark's been very busy on the trail, as I know, and you just came back from some training, didn't you, Mark? Are you allowed to talk about that?
A little bit. I'm in a coalition of candidates for Secretary of State, and so we all converged in South Carolina, and there were a lot of high-level government people. They either Zoomed in, or a lot of them were there in person, including other candidates for governor, and for example, in Utah and other states. So it was really amazing to listen to some of the agents from CIA or Space Force, Department of Space Defense, and federal departments that none of us even knew existed, but they do exist. And the to see people caring for the country, and some of them were whistleblowers, which was interesting. It's amazing how our government treats people who stand up to do the right thing. Yeah, they don't treat them very well. But it was a great opportunity for me to get some inside information, and also to understand that there's a lot of white hats still in our government that are in the FBI and the CIA. So I want to give people a little bit of hope, because when we left it was really a training on fifth and sixth generation warfare. I don't know how else to explain it. Those weren't the exact words, but I want listeners to understand that, it's not a kinetic war like, where you have two armies. This is a war about information, and it's a war about influence. And it's also about tactics, because, How do you take down the giant elephant that's all hierarchical and is basically dominates the habitat and makes all the rules for itself, or ignores the ones that that it doesn't like? And that would be the giant federal and state governments and other local agencies that we deal with. The deck is stacked. Anybody who's ever tried to take on the government knows that. This Desmond gentleman you're talking about, I'm sure, would be able to go on and on about it. But on the flip side, there are a lot of good folks still in the government, and it's amazing how much pushback is actually going on that's not being covered by the media. And I left that training with a lot of hope, and I want to impart that to your listeners, because I really do believe that we, the people, are turning the tide on this war, and that's the fifth generation warfare deal that even your show, Maggie, is a part of. Let's be real. We're reaching. Spreading the good word.
Well, it's interesting because I got a phone call from our mutual friend, and there are some people, you either love them or you hate them. Same with General Michael Flynn. There's some things I've been sitting on the fence with Michael Flynn, because I maybe don't understand all the facts, and I haven't been able to sit down and talk with him yet. But I was called by 107 quite some time ago and said, you need to order this book, Fifth Generation Warfare, which I think was co-authored by General Michael Flynn. Am I right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and I read the book three times. I was told that I was supposed to go back to Kansas City again. As you know, I was there for the Election Integrity Conference, where we met with quite a few people that are in radio and broadcasting like myself, and met with what's her name? I'm trying to remember her name now. She's out of Texas. She was a correspondent years ago with a major news TV. Oh, I can't believe I can't think of her name at the moment, but you know who I'm talking about. But anyway, I read the book three times, and then I was told, well, this conference – where we're going to have training regarding the 5G. You have to have read the book at least once and done the homework in the book. So I did all that. And I wasn't aware until just now that the training you went back to in South Carolina was the same one I was supposed to go to in Kansas City, but got canceled. So do you know anything if there are going to be more training like that going on?
Well, I don't know specifically, but I can guarantee you that there will be. You know, this is a topic that anyone, you don't have to be, you know, an activist or a military person to understand. We all understand that it's important that our government gives us good information. And after COVID, there's an increasingly high percentage of people that are starting to doubt the quality of information that our government is giving us. And that's where the fifth generation warfare stuff comes in. I mean, let me give you an example. So right now there's advertisements going on where the federal government is trying to advertise in order to increase the number of bias crime reports. Now, a bias crime is a crime in which somebody says something that someone else doesn't like. It's not criminal. In the old days, they used to call that free speech. But now the government's saying, if there's something we don't like, you know, we're going to have the FBI track you. In other words, it becomes an excuse to surveil average citizens. So the federal government's doing this. New York State responded by saying that because of the threats to democracy, they're now going to surveil their citizens. Within the state of New York, they're going to surveil their speech. And if they find things they don't like, such as bias statements or hate statements, then they're going to refer that information to the FBI, and the Big Brother will be watching. This is an example of our government engaging in fifth generation warfare against we the people. I hope that made sense, Maggie.
Now, before you go any further, excuse me. I did a little research, and here's just a few of the NSA spy programs that we know of. They have a thing called PRISM that collects emails. They have StellarWind that collects internet search queries. Mm-hmm. Upstream collects Facebook data. Bull Run collects instant messaging data. Mm-hmm. Marina sifts through and stores internet data. Mainway, and I'll do this fast as possible, records phone calls. Pinwheel spies on video uploads. Nucleon snaps up voice recordings. Muscular uses British system to hack American systems because they don't have freedom of speech. Five Eyes shares this hacked information with five different countries. Boundless Informant spreads Five Eyes data to other governments. The source, if you want to know the source, a book called No Place to Hide by Glenn Greenwald and The Snowden Files by Luke Hardin. Is there any doubt that our government is weaponizing against this? And now the state is doing it. And
well, I think we lost you there, Chris. But, you know, I'd like to comment on that. So there is no doubt. And the issue is all of these things were originally done to categorize data, to create markets, to make life better for people. But now they're being politicized. And once you politicize something that's supposed to be benign, that gives you metadata on trends, when you politicize this data, now it becomes a weapon that can be used against you, the citizen, by the government. And remember, the government has unlimited resources.
Mark, this was always about control. It was always was never a good thing, ever. And well, I can prove it by just talking about Nazi Germany. We're doing the same thing Nazi Germany did. This is evil, oppressive, and it's meant to control the population.
If you're hiding Jews today, let's pretend it's that time, but you're hiding Jews today. So we have Nazi Germany in the 21st century. Alexa would listen to your comments in your house and report it to the authorities. You wouldn't have to wait for your neighbor to hear something to report you. Right. Right. And we have AI now, in artificial intelligence, that is now going to combine all of the data pieces that you just shared. And people need to understand, artificial intelligence works the same way that our brains work. So when we're asleep and we're not sentient, we're unconscious because we're asleep. It's funny how we still breathe, our heart still beats, we still regulate our metabolism. Well, what does that? That means there's a part of our brains that doesn't sleep. And artificial intelligence is like that part of our brain. It does not sleep. So it's constantly crunching this data, and it's kicking out reports without the intermediary of a human being to sift through it and decide what's important and what's not. So before, while we were all being surveilled, it was a much less of a threat because some human or some rudimentary non-thinking computer had to go through to try to query what was significant and what was not significant. So in other words, a lot of people could that would be identified today haven't been identified because their speech was buried in a mountain of data, but now that's no longer the case. It's a huge threat, and that's where the fifth and sixth generation warfare issue. And everyone needs to be aware that we need to start caring about being surveilled. No longer can we say, I'm a good person. I got nothing to hide. I assure you, everyone has something to hide when you have a politicized, weaponized government, which is what's being created here in the state of Oregon with the Secretary of State's request for a proposal and awarding a contract to AI Logically. And AI Logically, as you know, is a program. It's an artificial intelligence program that's gonna monitor radio, media, phone calls, texts. It's gonna bring all of those components that you Chris, together, and it's going to identify people that make comments about the integrity of election in tier one or tier two. And if you are diagnosed or dubbed tier two, you're automatically referred to law enforcement. They're already implementing this program in Washington State. I already have confirmation that they've identified people and referred them to law enforcement. And those people were like, what? The cops show up. They didn't even know this surveillance existed. It's a huge breach of our constitutional rights. It creates a chilling effect that suppresses our media and our ability to speak freely. And it has to be stopped. And that is part of why you guys asked me to be on, because we have filed a lawsuit here in Oregon to stop the implementation of this clearly unconstitutional program and system.
Mark, are you aware that O'Biden signed an executive order forcing the federal government to use AI and to make it woke? Are you? Well, in other words, they're teaching computers to be insane.
Well, he did that, but what he said was, and I quote, you got to understand that his executive order was a direct response to Elon Musk coming out and saying, because I care about humanity, which he said, and because I'm well aware of the ethical and moral failings of people, and then he named the executive at Google, who is creating AI without ethics, he said, I'm going to create a good AI to watch the bad AIs that these entities like the Chinese government, Google, and NSA and all that are creating. Well, the federal government cannot let that stand, Chris. So what they've done is they've created an executive order under the guise of curbing AI, right? Of restricting. Right. So one, they have to have the ability to regulate an artificial intelligence. So that's what the executive order does. But notice, it says we're okay with woke AI. We're not okay with AI that's foundational. And in other words, artificial intelligence that tries to put the needs of people ahead of some other outcome.
Yes, it's insanity. Just it's cultural Marxism. It's antithetical to our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and none of these people have the authority. Or who would you trust to decide if your speech was okay? Free speech. We have free speech. We don't have hate speech. There's no such thing. I mean,
that's true.
In fact, I would argue free speech is hate speech, because you don't need free speech for everything, you know, something that everybody loves.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Mark, I have a question. Before you were flown back there to South Carolina, before Matt got you to come back there, did they send you or did you purchase the 5G book that General Flynn wrote?
They gave me a copy of that, so I didn't have a copy of
it. Yeah, because I was told we were supposed to have the training in Kansas City, and where I'd been before. And I talked to Colonel Shuey, and I guess they had canceled it, but now they postponed it. 107 just now texted me and said they postponed the Kansas City training until after the new year. But one of the requirements to going to the training is you have to purchase the book first and you have to study it and do the homework. So if you have flipped through your book, you'll see that after every chapter, there's like a little homework assignment.
Sure.
And I did all that months ago. I've read the book three times now. What I liked about the book especially was how he opens up explaining this book is for even the layman. It's not something you don't have to be in the military or have a master's degree to understand. And they break it down in very easily in how they have been attacking and trying to redo our society for over 100 years.
Yeah, no. And then, like I say, you know, the training's valuable just in terms of getting people to think in terms of information and influence. We've never really had to do that, you know, in the past. But now you got to remember that there's no longer human beings are no longer the sole sources of higher intelligence. We now have AI, which can greatly outstrip the capacity of any one human being. Granted, you know, it's still not like a human brain where our human brains can be so diverse and do all kinds of different things. But again, an AI will be very, very proficient, far beyond any human being at whatever it's programmed to do. And if it's programmed to identify speech that the government deems untenable and to then report people automatically without the intervention of an agency or a human being or a judge filing a warrant, we are in a little bit of disturbing times because, like Chris said, who defines good speech? It's like the DC comic. Who's watching The Watchmen, right?
Right.
And it's a scary thing. And then the government has tremendous levers of power, and like the executive order from the president. And then they get to define the terms of the wording. So, you know, his executive order, again, it seemed like, yeah, we want to curb AI. Yeah, we want to make sure it's regulated. That isn't what's going to happen. What they're saying is we'll curb the AIs we don't like when we will bring the full power of artificial intelligence to benefit the agenda of the government. And that's where things go off the rails. Our Constitution says there are things the government cannot do. And that's what this lawsuit's about here in Oregon. So far, it's having good effect.
Yeah, free speech protects unpopular speech. You don't need it for popular speech. They have no authority to do this. We need to tell them no. And you know what? Oh, Biden, if you're listening, you can kiss my bahookie. I'll say whatever the heck I want whenever I want to say it. And I'll be carrying my gun when I do it.
Congratulations. The AI just identified you. Good.
They can kiss my behind too. I don't care.
Yeah, right. I guess I'm there with you.
It's time. You know, we are living this. We have a coup going on right now. In case people don't know that in this country, and we've been under a coup for probably since the Kennedy assassination, but definitely since 9/11 2001. And this coup has been pernicious in nature, but they have speeded it up because they are so arrogant. They think they beat us. We got to, the people, you know, we have the power. The people in this country have the power, and we need to just tell the government to go to hell. They work for us.
And with a little luck, we'll be able to express the power of the people. And that's why I'm doing the work I'm doing.
Right.
That's why, you know, I founded Battleground Oregon. For those who don't know, it's a political action committee. I took on election integrity not to prove fraud, but to talk about the effects of the mail-in ballot system in Oregon and how it's totally destroyed what used to be a ubiquitous agreement among Oregonians on the right and on the left. We used to all agree that our elections were reasonable and integuous so that the losing candidate agreed that they lost and the winning candidate agreed that they won. We don't have that anymore. It's completely destroyed. Why? Because we have a government coming out saying our elections are totally secure, and then they mail out more ballots than registered or living voters in Oregon. And these ballots go out completely unsecured. You know, they find them in dumpsters. Some don't get delivered. Some get put in the mail and never get back to the elections office. It's a nightmare. It's not secure. I could go on and on. But remember, without confidence, without a universal confidence among we the people, that allows us to agree that our elections are good and they're doing what they're supposed to do, and that it is truly the people that are picking their leaders, not some kind of computerized or wealthy or powerful selection. without that, we're not free. Mm-hmm. Clarence Thomas said it very, very well when he gave his dissent on when they denied to take up the Texas election fraud. He said, without confidence in elections, we are no longer free as a people to govern ourselves. And I cannot stress that enough. You know, and what's funny is, you know, sometimes when I'm out talking about this, you know, Antifa shows up and says that I'm some kind of extremist. There is nothing more foundational than free speech, which is what your vote is. And your speech has to be protected, just like your vote should be protected. And our government here in Oregon, our state government, does not protect our vote. And it's rife with a myriad of examples. And it needs to change. So that's why we have the election integrity lawsuit that we filed, which will have a Ninth Circuit court hearing on December 6th. I want to encourage people to show up to that. I think it's at 11:30 is right now where it's at on the docket. And what that case is shaped to be is what the Ninth Circuit has dubbed a case of first impression. So here, remember, Chris, I think I explained this to you and Maggie. I think I told you guys a while back that my plan was to file this lawsuit and lose and lose and lose until we get to the Supreme Court, right? The U.S. Supreme Court?
Right.
Yeah, well, now I'm being told by my attorney, Stephen Jonkis, that he's not 100% sure we're going to lose. And I'm really disappointed because I had told everybody we're going to lose. And the reason is he let me know this just last week. He said, Mark, I'm intuiting this from the behavior of the court. The court has basically concluded that this case is a novel case. In other words, nobody's ever asked this question before. Mm-hmm. Who's responsible to maintain the confidence of the people in state and federal elections? Is it the people who are responsible, or is it the government? And if the government implements a process for running and orchestrating elections that the people no longer have confidence in, is that constitutional? Is that government constitutional? Because the Constitution says confidence is speech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See? And the government cannot impede on speech, just like the government bailed out Silicon Valley Bank because they didn't want people to lose confidence in banks.
Right.
Confidence in elections is just as paramount. So now I'm being told that we have actually a fighting chance in a very liberal Ninth Circuit court. Part of me is disappointed because, you know, the plan was to lose until we win, just like Brown.
I understand why you'd want to do that, but the Ninth Circus, good luck. It depends on which judges you get. But well, that magazine ban down there in California has been going on for 7 years. 7 years. Yep.
I hear
and we don't have that. We don't have 7 years, my friend.
No, we don't have 7 years. And that was one of the things that we've, Mark and I were talking about earlier regarding my own case when I was running, is that people are cherry picking which cases that they're going to look at that are even related to others. And then they're choosing and cherry picking what part of the U.S. Constitution that they're going to stand by and which part of the Oregon State Constitution they're going to stand by. And we all know at this last election that Tina Kotek and Christine Drazen and Betsy Johnson all violated the Oregon State Constitution that the Oregonians passed back in the 1990s that went to the State Supreme Court of Oregon, went to the Ninth Circuit, was kicked back to the Supreme Court, who then said it has to stand. So in 2020, that is when we should have been able to get rid of Kate Brown, even without the recalls, because she violated Article 2, Section 22, and so is Tina Kotek, Christine Drazen, and Betsy Johnson. So now what's happening here in Oregon is the Democrat Party is picking and choosing which parts of the U.S. Constitution to stand by and which parts of the Oregon State Constitution to throw away if it doesn't suit their agenda.
Well, you know, that's just it, because they control both ends of the levers of power, see? So we got to take it back.
We're going to go to a break, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to Mark Thelman, former superintendent of schools up in Northern Oregon, and Chris Brumbles, my co-host. We'll be right back. If any of you have any questions, call in and talk to Mark Thelman. He's going to be here for the next 25 minutes.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food, seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Republic Broadcasting Network, and you're listening to the Concord Hour. Here, I am your host, Maggie Rose. Today's date is November the 17th, 2023. You're listening to us live. Folks, just to let you know, on Monday, I will be doing, by popular request, what was supposed to be a 3-part series is now going to be a 4-part series. On Monday, we'll be talking more about the Veterans Administration, in particular, the VA hospitals in Arizona, Nevada, and Roseburg, Oregon, and some of the death panels that we've been hearing about, and also how some of the inoculations given to the veterans have caused the early demise of some of our veterans. Also, we had Congressman Matt Gaetz and also Marjorie Greene actually had a hearing recently. I'll be playing a part of that on Monday at the same time from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. So we will then be taking calls on Monday from those veterans that want to call into the show and give us a brief synopsis of what your challenges have been. I want to welcome back again. We have my co-host, Chris Brumbles, in the studio, and Mark Thelman, who has been superintendent of schools. He was a gubernatorial candidate in the primary in May of 2022. And as you all know, the state of Oregon is completely upside down, inside out. There's been a lot of fraud going on. As you all know, I've been doing investigative reporting for 48 years now. And one of the things that I was able to come up with, even when I was on the campaign trail, is that the Democrat Party, or what we call the Marxist Party, was actually shipping in, busing in, flying in people from other states, setting them up in housing in Salem and Portland, registering them to vote Democrat, giving them money or food baskets or whatever to get them through that month or 2 months of residency. And then once they voted, because you can actually start, you know, voting before the first week of November, once they started turning in their mail-in ballots, they were flown and bused at the expense of the Democrat Party of Oregon back to their home states where they actually live, where they actually reside. And this was something Mark and I were talking about earlier before tonight's show. Mark, if you or any of your friends were to become Secretary of State, is this one of the issues that would be addressed, being that Solomon Yu and Kerry McQuesten, who I consider rhinos, even Christine Drazen is a rhino, would any of the people that you know support in us tightening up the residency requirements so people could not do this, where the Democrat Party cannot get away with this?
Well, absolutely. So all of the requirements for residency are still set in law. And what you have is you have administrative rules that have been created that create an infinite number of exceptions, all under the guise of trying to create access for, you know, people of color and socioeconomically disadvantaged to have their voice be heard by making it easy to vote. And here's the issue, you know, in Battleground, Oregon, we took on election integrity. We are standing up for free speech by filing a lawsuit against Secretary of State, preventing them from surveilling us, right? And without our consent. And the thing about it that I think that's really powerful is that when you look at the purpose behind it, okay, and I want to be I'm trying to be a little coded here because I don't want to be too alarmist, but you have to take action, you have to stand up, and then you have to redefine the message for the regular lay people to understand. So in other words, when we're dealing with residency, we have to help people understand that one citizen, one vote, and that residency, you have to be established generally for 6 months. It used to be the rule, but now it's 30 days. And the problem with 30 days is you can move people in and you can move people out. So what we do is we go back to what the law says, not what the rule is. The law says 6 months. So that's what we'll go back to, Maggie. Did that all make sense?
It does make sense, and I'm so glad to hear that, because I can't begin to tell you, I was part of a group that was supporting people that were having concerns about rentals and being renters, and I got involved with this because my dad was a renter for a time, and one of my sons was, and the group was actually meeting mostly in Salem, sometimes in Eugene, and after just a short time of going to a few of these meetings, I found it was such a major wokeism, and that some of the people I recognized part of this this coalition for citizens rentals and rental reform were mostly from Portland and Salem. Some of them I recognized as people I'd seen at the Capitol Mall in Salem that were actually Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And they started contacting me, well, you know, do you want to be part of our group? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And I was finding out that some of those people had actually been shipped in and were setting up residency in less than 60 days. And they were even boasting how they were voting before they went back home to their home state of Nevada or Kansas or Arizona or wherever they were flown in from or bused in from. So that would be wonderful. That would be just one of the issues that we could take care of. Besides, we need to get back to one person, one ballot, in person with voter ID and one day voting only.
Well, that's what's powerful about it. You know, educating people about that there's a difference between law and rule, so that if there's an administrative rule set up by the Secretary of State, which is what happened was the Secretary of State got a rider in a law that said that they had the power to, you know, come up with the details, Maggie. You see how that works?
Yeah.
So what happens is the entire system forgets that the statute says residency is 6 months. And then there's nobody holding the system accountable, because somebody would have to sue the state to get them to follow their very laws that are already on their books, which is the responsibility of the governor. So you'd have to sue the governor. Well, the governor has unlimited resources again, and the state knows this. So what they do is they come up with things, that good talking points that tug on the heartstrings. And if you speak out against it, like, you know, Chris Brumbles, man, you got a little intense there. Chris might say, you need to follow the law, because we live in a nation of laws. And we can't make rules that undermine the law, because the Constitution is very clear that the people can't even vote in a rule that's unconstitutional. So if we have an administrative code or administrative rule that undermines a duly made law, we are now acting unlawfully. And the thing that kills me is the number one lawbreaker in the state of Oregon is the Oregon state government. I mean, it's amazing.
Yep.
And they, why? Because there's nothing, there's no one out there. There's no billionaire, Bill Gates, trying to hold the government accountable short of Elon Musk.
See? Right.
So that's the pickle we're in. And the best way to beat it is for everyday citizens listening to this show to be vocal and get engaged in Salem in the legislative process, because just like filing the lawsuit created nationwide ripples, where it created huge panic here in the state of Oregon, because I'm out doing radio shows like this saying, yeah, your government not only is lying to you, but they're now trying to suppress your speech and keep opposition quiet so they can maintain their power. And that's a system trying to preserve itself. Well, preserve itself from what, Maggie?
From exactly. We the people. Exactly. But the thing is, Mark, most of us, we look, I mean, myself, I would have a really good lawsuit right now against the state of Oregon. But the point is I can't afford the monies that the lawyers are charging. And the lawyers are the only ones getting rich off this. All the lawyers that are helping with any of these lawsuits, they're getting richer and richer. And some of them are saying they're doing their job and others are not doing their job. Well, some are just kind of dog paddling. And so it would be really nice if people would understand that even though we are not lawyers, that we also have the right to go in and file pro se. Then, of course, when you file pro se, the court will have to give you a little bit more leniency, knowing that you're not a barred attorney. So the thing is, it's not right that I can't have my voice heard because I don't have the thousands or millions of dollars to sue the Secretary of State and the governor and even the judges that are allowing the Oregon State Constitution to be violated. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about the rule of law.
Well, so here, you know, I'll go out on a limb here. I mean, we're a nation of laws, and we the people have a lot of influence. We elect our leaders, we influence our leaders, and if enough regular folks get involved in Salem, Oregon, right, the state capital, we could easily say we want the state to earmark a fund to support people with the intention to sue the government. Why? Because we care so much about an honest government that we're willing to put taxpayer dollars into a pot, and we're willing to give people access to that, the Maggie Roses of the world, so that they can go and file these lawsuits. Why? Because it helps the government check itself. But see, that we would have to have a government that wasn't afraid of we the people, that didn't have anything to hide, that said, you know, if we can send money to Ukraine, we could just as easily create legislation that creates a fund so that we can balance the legal pool and that we can give regular folks an opportunity to have their voice heard in court, rather than create a biased system, a bigoted system, in which the state has unlimited resources and we the people do not.
Exactly.
So, and that's what we could do. And the thing is, we have to start thinking about that, because nobody, I bet you this is the first you've ever heard of that.
Yeah, it is the first I've heard of it. What do you think about that idea, Chris?
I don't think it would work, because the left would find a way to steal it. They would. and I'm going to tell you something. You know me, right, Mark?
Yes, I do.
Then you know you haven't heard it tense yet. And I'm going to tell you a little side. I mean, I got to add this in because we're getting short on time. I know this is a very important subject that we're talking about, but there are no criminal charges going to be filed on Biden for illegally peddling influence or illegally storing documents that he had for dozens of years when he had no authority to have them. But they're doubling down on Trump. I'm going to get more and more intense because we are under a coup. And I believe that with all my heart. In fact, Fox News and Tucker Carlson are now coming out and saying that. And not that I believe everything Fox News, but Tucker Carlson's been pretty honest.
Yep.
But
well, here's
the good news, common right? sense tells you that. I mean, and it's we have a two-tiered justice system. And I use the word justice lightly.
Well, Chris, you go to your representative. I don't know, is it a Brian Stout or somebody? You go grab one of your reps and ask them to write a legislative concept. Everybody listen, because this is how it works. Mm-hmm. And see if they'll put a legislative concept in prior to the next legislative session. And that is what it's called an LC, which is what bills become, or it becomes a bill. See if you can get a rep to push back on the state government. So there's got to be a Republican out there who would say, you know, this is politically good enough. I'm going to write a bill
Here's how bad Oregon is. I did talk to Brian Stout several times, and I have wanted to grab him before.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I've said, why don't you do this bill? It's already done. Why don't you do this bill? Every bill I could come up with that would help us, they put them in every year, and they're Republicans, so they get told to go to the corner, sit down, and shut up till the session's over because we have the power. That's
well,
how
corrupted here, it is here. Now you have Battleground Oregon and my entire network. You got Maggie. You've got this radio show. We can write an LC and then leak it to the public. We can give it to Tucker Carlson, and we could say, why isn't there a fund that allows regular people to sue the government, so that we can level the playing field, so that the people have a mechanism to hold the government accountable. And the thing is, it's not a crazy concept. It makes a lot of sense. It does exist in other places in the world. And what I'm saying is, this is the United States of America. We the people can do that. And all you got to do is get a legislative concept written, and then you leak it out in the media. I've done this before. And remember, it's the realm of ideas that makes America great. If we can send hundreds of billions to Ukraine, we could put $50 billion in a fund, or in Oregon, we could put $500 million in a fund or $50 million in a fund. I guarantee you we could afford $5 million. And think of the difference that would make for regular people having the opportunity to have the resources to hold the government accountable. It would be a
game. Having been through several court cases against the state and the county, We, you know, I'm an optimist normally, but with Oregon, that optimism is running out. It's all corrupt, and they legislate from the bench. And I mean, you saw last year they tried to do a gun law, and they said if you want to fight this, you have to fight it in Salem, where we appoint the judges, and they'll do what we say. They're going to find some way to screw you with an amendment. But ideas are good, Mark.
Ideas are great. I like
Mark's idea. In fact, I think one of the things when I talked to 107, and he was so upset what happened to Mark in the primary, and was so upset what happened to, what was the other guy who was up? He was former Navy, worked for Grocery Outlet, or was a CEO.
Bob Tiernan.
Yeah.
Bob Tiernan.
So I was voting for Mark, and people at the newspaper, the Roseburg Beacon, were voting for him. And then when all that kind of blew up, and I was all of a sudden finding myself running as a gubernatorial candidate, I had so many people jumping my case, and even the people that voted for me to be the gubernatorial candidate were getting up on Telegram and social media and saying, don't vote for Donna Smith, you've got to vote for Christine Drazen, or the whole state is lost. But they don't seem to realize the Republican Party also is corrupted from within. And 107 actually called me up and said, Trump knows about you, and he wants you to know that until you guys take care of the Republican Party, you guys are a lost cause. And I said, well, ask Trump what he means by that. Well, I got a phone call 3 weeks later, and I was told, you know, what we're trying to say is that here with the caucus and all this going on here in the United States is that the Republican Party is a captured operation, just like the Democrat Party has been captured for more than 40 years. So our Republican Party right now, as Mark and I discussed earlier today, they're eating their own. Is that not true?
Well, that's what makes it fun. That's why I do the Battleground Oregon activism stuff, see, because I'm not beholden to the party. But the party does call me, as you know, because they have to deal with me.
They've called you several things.
What I'm saying is we are taking over our party. In Oregon, the Republicans are taking over the party one PCP at a time. Again, give people hope, because right now we have a caucus that did its job with our party platform, and it was fun watching the rhino stand up and going, "This is going to be so controversial." Really, free speech is controversial.
These clowns don't do the will of the people. And I've talked to several representatives lately, and they just don't get it. They sit down, "Chris, we need more Republicans before we can do the will." No, I said, "You got to do the will of the people. You ain't going to get no more Republicans." And it just goes around and around. They don't get it. I said, "Why the hell would we put a Marxist in a Republican seat and move the party further to the left? So we just, you know, they just vote with Democrats anyways."
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
That's true, but look at the power now. There's more and more grassroots style candidates. They're already filing to run, and the party caucus is now dominant, we the people in Oregon. And so what I'm saying is we have a good system in the sense that our Republican Party in Oregon is genuinely marching in the direction of reforming itself. So I'm excited about it. I know we're not there yet. I guarantee it, but I'm already working on it.
We just lost every conservative in the Senate, and there is no conservatives in the House.
Well, so, well, have a little faith in that. There's a process in play. There'll be new opportunities for more grassroots candidates to take their place in the event that they're not successful in the court.
So are you thinking about running, Mark, for anything at all?
We want a confirmation right here,
right now.
Secretary of State.
Well, obviously, I'm under lots of pressure to run for Secretary of State. I have a team together. I'm working with some out-of-state people and some very good people, both people that are very pro-Trump and a few that aren't. There's one thing that's bringing everybody together, and that has been this new lawsuit to stand up for free speech and against state-endorsed surveillance concerning our elections. And so what I'm excited by is even members of Antifa are interested in joining this lawsuit, by the way, because they too don't want to be surveilled.
So, wow.
But you still didn't answer the question, Mark. That was a political answer. Just say yes.
Yes. Well, I plan to run. Yes.
That's what I wanted to hear.
So Mark, I
can be an ass, but
yeah, Mark, you're good.
I'm going to make a suggestion.
But I love you, man. I'm going to deliver this county to you. So
okay. I want to make a suggestion. I learned I was only allowed, and I say that very strongly, I was only allowed by the state of Oregon and the other candidates at that time in the Constitution Party. Most of us are back in the Republican Party now. We were only allowed to run for 2 months, okay? So from September to October, as you know, my husband put me in our camper, and we traveled the entire state, north, east, west, south. We went to all 36 counties, some of them more than 2, 3, 4 times. In fact, Christine Drazen was so freaking out that I was in Harney County for the fifth time that she was trying to do a Zoom meeting, and only, I think, 12 people showed up at the building and maybe 3 more on the computer. I actually went up to John Day, Grant County, and when they found out I was there, they sent the newspaper over to interview me, and I was put on the front page of the paper, and Betsy Johnson found out that I was there, and she had her pilot fly her in, and they got stopped at the airport in Grant County, and when she found out my husband was driving me all the way back to Joseph, you know where Joseph is.
Oh, it's yeah.
in top right-hand corner in the Canyon Indian Reservation. And when she found out that I was there, she tried to get her pilot to fly her there to Joseph. And he said, sorry, the weather won't let us do it. So my suggestion, Mark, is when you get my husband, myself, and the rest of us on your campaign, we take you to all these counties and more than just once or twice to each county.
Yeah, we can do it. Oh, believe me, we'll be visiting. We'll be putting in the work, and that's what you did. And you outperformed your campaign budget. I think you had nearly 10,000 votes, $10,000. That's $1 per vote. We pull that off for my Secretary of State race. Guess what? We're going to win this thing.
Well, folks, this is Mark Thelman, considering running for Secretary of State of Oregon, and my co-host, Chris Brumbles, and I'm hoping to bring you back again, Mark, real soon. Right, Chris?
Thanks for having me, Kat.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mark.
Sorry about that. I muted myself and didn't realize.
Okay.
Well, God bless you.
God bless all of you, and let's take this country back.
Amen.
Thank you.
Had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. Country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon the glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame.
We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore.
Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.